O God, the Eternal Father, we who have gathered here this day, Lord, we praise your name and we implore your mercy. And we know that thou art real, the Holy One of Israel, the Almighty God, from all blessings flow. And we pray as we meet this day in gladness, giving you the praise, Lord, for without you we're nothing. And we pray that as our speaker stands before us, that Holy Spirit, from your holy presence and purpose for all mankind and mercy, I pray that he speaks according to the Spirit of truth, giving us the food that we stand in need. Bless the hour to this end, and we give you the praise and glory forever. Amen.
Much. Can you hear me? Yes. Check. Is it on? It says on. It says channel 2. Okay. There's a green light. I've got the... Oh, you hear me breathing at least. I'm alive. I'm alive. Should I move it closer maybe or... No. Probably down. Okay. Well, it's good to be here with you. And I appreciate your prayers and your consideration. My mind is a flurry of activity right now, and I appreciate my brother's prayers of the Holy Spirit, because that's what's going to get everything lined out for me. I believe that. And as a matter of fact, the scriptures talk about the foolishness of preaching. Do you know that verse? And there's two reasons why it's listed that way. One is that you can tune out and walk out and not pay attention all you want to. That's one way it could end up being that. And the other way is, well, I'm just a man. And it is amazing that God has, and you know it, at various times that you've heard a sermon from somebody, it doesn't have to be me, it doesn't have to be Brother Kurt, it can be many that you've heard, how many times that God has given you something to take with you, in spite of the fact it came from a man. I've said this many times, I'll say it again, and it'll probably be something I'll say all the rest of my life. God is smarter than I am. And he set this up this way. And it's amazing. Truly is amazing. I want to say thank you to you all, because you have accommodated. You have accommodated the needs that I had in being in allowing me to come the fourth Sunday instead of the third. And not only that, you were so kind as to go ahead and have a meal. And, you know, it is a blessing. It is, because you didn't have to do that. You could have said, you know, it would be better if maybe we just found a different month if it's not working out for you. And that would have been fine, too. But I think of the scriptures that say, love your neighbor as yourself, and I feel the love of my brothers and sisters being willing to accommodate the need that I had in a schedule. And I appreciate that. In fact, I would like to read on page 211 in the Book of Mormon something that kind of goes along with things I'm saying. And this is Mosiah chapter 1, and again, page 211. And I think I'll start with verse 38. Chapter 1. Starting at verse 38, and it says, and these are the words with which he spake and caused to be written. This he is King Benjamin, saying, my brethren, all ye that have assembled yourselves together, you that can hear my words, which I shall speak unto you this day. I'm going to let King Benjamin speak for me, because is that not what's going on right now? For I have not commanded you to come up hither to trifle with the words which I shall speak, but ye should hearken unto me, and open your ears that ye may hear, and your hearts that ye may understand, and your minds that the mysteries of God may be unfolded to your view. I have not commanded you to come up hither that you should fear me, or that you should think that I of myself am more than a mortal man. I'm going to read some further things, but I want to comment there. He's their king. Think about all the kings of history and how they're revered and held up. Sometimes the things they have done, because they know they're revered and held up, have not been wise. But nonetheless, think of all the kings of history and how people view them and treat them and the things that they have. And here is a king. And he says, don't think of me of anything more than a mortal man. But I am like as yourselves, subject to all manner of infirmities in body and mind. Yet, as I have been chosen by this people and was consecrated by my father and was suffered by the hand of the Lord that I should be a ruler and a king over this people and have been kept and preserved by his matchless power to serve thee with all the might, mind, and strength which the Lord hath granted unto me, I say unto you that as I have suffered to spend my days in your service, even up to this time, and have not sought gold nor silver nor any manner of riches of you, neither have I suffered that ye should be confined in dungeons, nor that ye should make slaves one of another, or that ye should murder or plunder or steal, or commit adultery, or even I have not suffered that ye should commit any manner of wickedness, and have taught you that ye should keep the commandments of the Lord in all things which he hath commanded you. And even I myself have labored with mine own hands that I might serve you, and that ye should not be laden with taxes, and that there should nothing come upon you which was grievous to be borne. And of all these things which I have spoken, ye yourselves are witnesses this day. This is King Benjamin speaking. And these are the things that he tells his people before he's going to speak to them many things. Many things. But one of his main points here in the opening is that he is subject to the same things they're subject to. What's the old saying that the king still puts his pants on one leg at a time and that kind of a thing? And isn't that the case? This is a humble man that we're reading the words of. A humble man. And it's good that we remember these things, because it's an example that's set forth in the scriptures for us to be able to follow, for us to be able to understand, for us to remember. You know, as I think about, you could talk about our current president, but you could also talk about any of the other presidents that came before. The strongest of supporters of any president are going to hold that person up. Yes, he's great. He's what we need, whoever it is. I would like to hear the words of a president, much like the words of this king, who would humble himself and would put the Lord first. But then we kind of have to stop and go, it isn't just for kings and presidents, is it? It isn't just for kings and presidents. If we go over a few more pages to 220, page 220, and now we're in the second chapter of Mosiah, and I'll begin at verse 18. And again I say unto you, as I have said before, still King Benjamin speaking, that as ye have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if ye have known of his goodness, and have tasted of his love, and have received a remission of your sins, which causeth such exceeding great joy in your souls, even so I would that you should remember, and always retain in remembrance, the greatness of God, and your own nothingness, and his goodness and long-suffering towards you unworthy creatures. I've made this comment before with these verses that he's not holding anything back. He's not pulling any punches there. But I don't really think that he's shaking a finger at them either. Because if you think about it, if he's talking to his people in this manner, that they remember their own nothingness, and God's long-suffering towards them, remember that he's also equated himself with them. I'm a man just like you are. And so he's including himself in that. He's saying, I also need to remember my nothingness goodness of God. Verse 21, I would be remiss if I didn't continue reading. And humble yourselves, even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily, and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you that if you do this, ye shall always rejoice, and be filled with the love of God, and always retain a remission of your sins. And ye shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. He includes the idea of humility here. He includes the idea of calling upon the name of the Lord daily and being steadfast in our faith. We alluded in our discussions in Sunday school to that very idea, keeping the faith. I don't remember how it was phrased this morning in Sunday school, pardon me, but I think that you see the commonality of it. Keeping the faith and being steadfast in that. That in a world where we don't feel like we can control much that might be happening to us, or decisions being made by other people, we do have that. We do have that. The ability to call on the name of the Lord daily. I've called on the name of the Lord inside my head before and never uttered an actual word. You can do that, even if you're in a place that wouldn't allow you to utter a word. It's not taken away from you. It's not taken away from me. So I stand here before you, and I'm glad. I'm glad to know that King Benjamin is just like me. I'm glad to know that King Benjamin is just like you. Subject to the same things, the same infirmities and frailties. Well, that means he probably has had a cold, right? Just like me or you, or the flu, or anything like that. That means he probably left a room and forgot something and had to go back in there to remember what he forgot and then go back out of the room and go take care of it. Just like I have. I won't say that's happened to you because I don't know, but... Okay, just like you, Alan. And anybody else who wants to put themselves in that same human category. Yeah, I knew better. I knew that was probably all of us at some point. Yes, indeed. Well, you see me turning, and I haven't told you where I'm turning, so I'll go ahead and tell you. I'm turning to James, the fifth chapter. James chapter 5. You might find it by the time I do. We're familiar in James, the fifth chapter, with the verses that talk about the ordinance of the laying on of hands, as you have already witnessed today. I want to pick up this chapter after that. Verse 17. No, actually, I'll go back to verse 16. Pardon me. That hopefully doesn't change your page. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. You've heard this verse before. Before I stood before you, our brother Kurt, he said that he talked about the words that I was going to be reading coming out of here, and the truth, and that it's, and in Sunday school, that's what I'm thinking of. In Sunday school, he mentioned there's nothing in the Book of Mormon that hasn't been there before. Well, the same is true of the Bible. When I read that verse, those verses, I'm still amazed. 3.5 years. That's nearly the lifespan of my son. He's a little older than that. That's a long time without rain. We can't even say that in this most recent drought. We had a little rain this morning. Little, but we had it. 3.5 years, nothing. And yet this Elias was just a man, subject to like passions as we are. He probably wanted that great truck too. It'd be a lot easier on him, so to speak. Or whatever. Verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. This chapter discusses prayer, and it discusses faith, and it discusses what the Lord will do when we pray to him in that faith. And what's astounding to me is that even though Elias is a man like us, even though King Benjamin is a man like us, he's brought all of these great miracles, and he's brought all of these great blessings to Elias, to King Benjamin, to the people of King Benjamin, to all sorts of kinds of people, to you and me. And what are we? Man. See if I can find it. Sorry about that. In Warrensburg, there's a space there. I'm not used to. We sang... No, that's not it. Okay, I'm not ready for that, I guess. I marked a song, and that's not the right one. So you'll forgive me. But like I said, I'll tell you what. I'm going to turn to Moroni chapter 6. Now, you had Bob Oldham with you last weekend, I understand. And I've heard him say some things. I've heard him say a lot of things. But I've heard him say that something that I wish to kind of, it'll probably come out like I would say it, but I wish to kind of relate. And I like it. I like what he says. Because he has also stood before congregations like in Warrensburg and said, I'm just a man. But then he says, I don't have to prove this stuff. I don't have to explain it and make excuses for it. It is what it is. And it's God's word. And me as a man, I might mess it all up, say the wrong thing, read it wrong. But it's God's word. And I don't have to stand before you perfect. His word is perfect. And so let's find out what it says. There is a reason behind all this. I'm not going to talk to you about how we're all men and all that for an hour. Chapter 6. And now I speak concerning baptism. Behold, elders, priests, and teachers were baptized, and they were not baptized, save they brought forth fruit meet that they were worthy of it. Neither did they receive any unto baptism, save they came forth with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and witnessed unto the church that they truly repented of all their sins. This is a process that's kind of set up. And I know of many ministry that when someone's talking to them about baptism or has expressed an interest, this is one of the things that they go to. It's here for us to understand and to use so that a person that is baptized understands. And none were received unto baptism, save they took upon them the name of Christ, having a determination to serve him unto the end. Okay. So I'm just a man, and I'm like Elias and King Benjamin, but I'm also like some people that aren't, you know, I'm a man, and so's, you know, all the people here at Collins, and they're not in here with us right now. What's the difference? Well, I'm going to be pretty general here, because I don't know the heart and soul of every person that I've ever met. But these people took upon them the name of Christ, having a determination to serve him unto the end. Now is the song, but I'll just tell you. Well, we sang the special, Come Thou Fount. One of the verses says, here I raise my Ebenezer. An Ebenezer is a standard. It's a thing that identifies you. It's a thing that when you stand by it, people go, oh, they're from that country, or they're part of the army, you know, or something like that. So when I raise my Ebenezer and I take upon me the name of Christ, then I'm Christ's. And I have a determination to serve him unto the end. There's a difference in that. There's a difference in that. And after that they had been received unto baptism and were wrought upon and cleansed by the power of the Holy Ghost, they were numbered among the people of the Church of Christ. So here we are, and if you're baptized, and you're numbered among the people of the Church of Christ. Emphasis on Christ being a capital C, and de-emphasis on church, little c. Now don't misunderstand me. Christ comes first. Christ comes first. We're numbered among the people of Christ. And therefore, as a people, we are numbered among the church that he has. And their names were taken that they might be remembered and nourished by the good word of God to keep them in the right way, to keep them continually watchful unto prayer, relying alone upon the merits of Christ, who was the author and finisher of their faith. You know, I don't mind telling you, I voted for George W. Bush. But I didn't vote for George W. Bush thinking he was going to fix everything, or that he was perfect, or that he was going to do it all the way that I would have done it. Because I can't rely upon the merits of any politician. And in fact, doesn't the scripture tell us not to rely on even our own arm of flesh? I can't rely on the merits of my arm of flesh. I have to rely on the merits of Christ. And he's the author and finisher of my faith. He wrote it. He wrote it. And at the end, he's going to sign off on it. And as Hebrews tells us, without that faith, I cannot please him. So then I must have it. I must be in that faith, or I cannot please God. And when he signs off on it, I won't be part of the quality control check. And the church did meet together oft to fast and to pray and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. And they did meet together oft to partake of bread and wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. There's a strong purpose here, a strong purpose, and you're fulfilling that purpose today. And no matter how good or bad a job I do, no matter how many times I mess something up or repeat myself, that doesn't take away the fact that we are joined here today in this purpose. At least I hope so. And this is that purpose, that while we're here meeting together as often as we can, that we have this attitude and this desire that this is about the welfare of our souls. There's a particular purpose that being here together serves. And we discussed again in Sunday school, it was mentioned the folks that maybe aren't here with us anymore and have gone a different direction. In Warrensburg, we pray about people like that too, that are right there in the area and they don't come. And it's kind of like a habit, because the more you do this, the more you're going to do that. Do this. Let me get those words right so it makes sense. The more you do this over here, the more you're going to want to do this over here. And the more you do that over here, the more you're going to want to do that over here. So the more we get together and meet off, the more we're going to be able to strengthen one another and be strengthened by the very words I'm reading and anything else, the discussions that we have. And we're going to be in a place where we can, what did I read where I read there? In James, confess your faults one another to one another and pray for one another. The more we'll be able to do that, and that it will be helpful to us. And we have examples of that already. And there are more to make, more examples of that to make. Because it's what we need to be doing. And when someone says to me, well, I mean, I believe, and I don't like this about how ritual that is, or I get a little uncomfortable in the closed room, or I don't know, I've heard all sorts of things, and maybe you have too, but what they don't understand, and what we leave behind if we also don't come, is we're missing the opportunity to strengthen one another. We're missing the opportunity to share what's on our hearts and our minds and our souls to be taken care of. We're missing an opportunity to be strengthened together so that as the world around us changes, we can be steadfast in the faith. And the world around us is changing. It is changing a lot. Well, let me talk about change. Let's talk about change. I'm going to go back to page 162. I don't remember what that is. 2 Nephi, chapter 13, maybe? Yeah. Page 162. 2 Nephi, chapter 13. I could read this whole chapter and be just fine with it. Page 162. Matter of fact, I'm now deciding whether I really want to start where I thought I was going to start. So I'm going to make it go back a page. 161. Starting with verse 14. And the Father saith, repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son. And also the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, he that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost, like unto me. Wherefore, follow me, and do the things which ye have seen me do. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that if ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sins, witnessing unto the Father that ye are willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, yea, by following your Lord and Savior down into the water according to his word, behold, then shall you receive the Holy Ghost. I won't turn to it right now, but and I do have more to read in that chapter, which is why I'm not going to flip it around on you. But in John, Christ himself says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to leave you this Holy Spirit, this Comforter. I'm going to leave this with you. Well, isn't that different then? Different than without it? There's a great change that's wrought upon a person when they're baptized and they receive that Holy Ghost. We believe in that. They are the, all sorts of words are flying out of my head. The principles of the gospel. The principles of the gospel of Christ. Yea, then cometh the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost, and then can ye speak with the tongue of angels and shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. Amazing stuff. You know, since we've been kind of on a little bit of a theme here with presidents, and I brought up kings today as well and all that, we talked about, I think it was Alan that mentioned, you know, they'll stand up and they'll talk about change and change and change and change. And I don't know how many times I've heard a candidate of any kind say change, and they'll say change in the way I think it ought to be changed. But it doesn't ever seem to really happen that way, does it? This is real change. You know the phrase, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Well, that's a world phrase. That's a phrase for politicians who should cry out change. That's for any of us, if that's where we're going to frame our change in, is by the world. But when things change with God, then they're different. They're different. And that's what's happening here. This is the real change. This is what's really important. And this is why we have to remain steadfast in that, no matter what happens. No matter what happens. Because we can't rely on the world to change, especially the way that we want it to. Only in and through the goodness and grace and blessings and miracles and love and add your own words of our God who sent his Son Jesus Christ that we even have the chance to change. But you know this, right? You know this. I'm not telling you anything new. But we have to be reminded. Because How can you stay steadfast in a faith if you're not reminded about what that faith is built on and how important it is? How can you watch the news and just that stuff just, maybe you don't watch the news and maybe we shouldn't, but you don't have to get it even from the news. You can watch the news, you can watch a TV program, you can listen to something on the radio, you can be walking through a mall, you can be wherever you are, and you're being bombarded, constantly bombarded by the things the world would put up there for us to grab hold of and to find our happiness with and to believe in as changing us in a good way and all sorts of stuff constantly bombarding us. How are we going to remain steadfast against those things, the things of the world, if we don't come back and keep ourselves grounded? I think I've lost my place here. Let me move down to verse 27. Because it isn't just about being baptized and receiving the Holy Ghost. And now, my beloved brethren, after that ye have gotten into this straight and narrow path, which the scriptures say is the gate that you enter in is baptism, so now you're on the path, you're baptized, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay. I'm going to back up. If all was done at that particular point in time, and you made that one change and everything was good from then on, send me to heaven. What am I here for? You said everyone has to have a purpose. We need a purpose. God isn't going to just take us up to heaven and we're all perfect at baptism. We have to strive. We have to endure. We have to, well, I'm getting ahead of myself because I'm going to read it here in a second. No, that isn't all done. It's not all done. Nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness, there it is again, in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. It's not done. But look, you have a roadmap and a goal. Don't lose sight of the goal. You know, all it takes is a moment. All it takes is a moment to fall to sin. A thought. A step in the wrong direction. Just a moment. That's why there's words in here like hope. That's why there's words in here like feasting upon the words of Christ. Feasting, food, what you need, what I need, what we all need. And now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way. The world, for what I'm about to read, would call me a hater, would say I have hate speech, would say that I'm not tolerant, would say that I don't have in mind the best interests of my fellow man, that I don't have respect for other people, that I, you could add your own phrases, but I'm going to read it, and like Bob Oldham says, I don't have to defend it or make excuses for it, it's the Word of God. He's going to defend it, and he doesn't have to make excuses, he's going to make sure it's true. So here I'm going to read it, and you know it, but I just I want to put emphasis on it today. And there is none other way, nor name given under heaven, whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. Do you believe that? Is that part of your faith that was written by Christ and he's going to sign off on it on the end? Is that what you believe? You do, if you believe this is the Word of God. You do if you believe that Jesus Christ came and he was sent by his Father and he is the Son and he sacrificed himself upon the cross that we might live. You do. And if you do, then there's no other direction for you to find what you need. And now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only and true doctrine of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen. Why do they put an amen on there? Amen. To confirm. Okay? Yeah. And an amen when you say your prayers is, it's final. I've finished my prayer on this scripture. This is the doctrine of Christ. Done. And you can count on it. And you can count on it better than you can count on me. Because I'm just a man. And you can count on it better than you can count on your own hand. Because it's just a hand. And you can count on it like nothing else. And anytime you feel like you can't count on something, you can count on that. And every word that's in these books. Have you ever seen the, it's kind of a cute thing, and every now and then there's stuff posted on maybe even other churches' things, phrases, and I've seen it somewhere else. Can't think of where at the moment, but have you ever seen the thing where they have no Jesus, no peace, and it's spelled N-O, no Jesus, no peace, and then the next line is K-N-O-W, no Jesus, no peace. Ever seen that before? That's because that peace only comes through the one name given under heaven. Not any other name. Not any president's name. Not King Benjamin's name. Much as he was a humble man, much as he spoke to those people the words of God, much as he worked side by side with them and was a good example, it still isn't his name. Peace that we need. We crave it. Have you thought of that? We desire it. Every human being on the face of the planet that ever was, is, and shall be craves peace. I was, just the other day, I was reminded of something that repeats in my life. I'm driving down the highway, and there's a whole bunch of cars right around me, you know? And that happens. You get in traffic, you got people passing you. They're kind of slow about it, maybe. They're slowly passing you, and you've got someone in front of you that's a little slower than what you want to drive, and you see a vehicle coming up in your rearview mirror, and you're kind of feeling a little boxed in. Maybe you've not had that feeling, but I get that way. And I'm feeling a little, I don't know if agitated is the right word, or anxiety or concern, but I'm just seeing a very unsafe circumstance developing. If one little thing happens, the whole ball of wax comes undone. And so I look for something that I can do to get myself out of that little situation. And maybe I need to speed up a little bit, and maybe I need to take the opportunity and get ahead of the passer and pass myself and get out there in front a little bit. Maybe I need to slow down and let it all go on by me, which is probably the wisest of those options, by the way. But and then I find myself all by myself. There's a bunch of traffic that way. In my rearview mirror, there's a bunch of traffic the other way, but they're a half mile back, and I'm all by myself. And what do I feel? Right? We all desire peace. We all want it. But we get it. The real peace. The peace, the everlasting peace. The peace that doesn't go away because there's a number of moments of anxiety or whatever. We'll get that peace with Jesus. Because we know Him. Because we know His gospel. And because in spite of ourselves, we come back to that faith when we fall. And in spite of ourselves, what's the song? I think it's 3:19. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able. We know. Psalm 23 is very well known, but let me read it, because to me, this is an embodiment of peace. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. I can't help myself. He restoreth my soul. I read in Moroni chapter 6 that we meet together oft for the welfare of our souls. Do you know that when we get together on a Sunday, we're restoring our soul? I feel peace with you when I come into this church. I feel a peace when I go into the Warrensburg church. I feel a peace when I go into the Temple Lot Local, especially when we're all meeting together and we're going to have services. Do you feel that way too? Yeah. And we desire it, which is why the more you meet together, the more you want to meet together. Our soul can be restored. Now, it's kind of temporary because not all is done. We're still enduring to the end. But it's a peace that I can't match anywhere else. I can't even match it on the highway when there's traffic, you know, not around me. Can't match it. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Why? Because he's the only way. He doesn't do it for my name's sake. For his name's sake. So that I'll stand up and I'll say, the Lord has blessed me. It's his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There is so much evil that can be done to you and to me. There is so much evil in the world and so many horrible things that happen in all sorts of nations, including our own. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You don't know when that may happen to you. Something evil, something of the shadow of death. And so this is our way of life, so that when the time comes, we are prepared. Instead of, wait. You can't do that to me right now. I gotta, hang on a second. Doesn't work that way. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I've had experiences at church where I just didn't want to leave. I was just content to stay there. Didn't want to leave. I don't know if that's akin to wanting to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, but I think it's pretty close. Didn't want to go. Other song. So far, I've talked to you about how I'm just like you. And we have the scriptures that back that up. Even the people in the scriptures. You know that should bring us hope. Because if Elias can fervently pray and it doesn't rain for 3.5 years, think of what can happen when you fervently pray to God. What blessings is he going to bring? If King Benjamin can work side by side with his people and be a just ruler because he understands and has that humility, think about what's going to happen in your life with your humility and the work that you do to serve God. Think about how that changes you for the better. Think about how that's God's change for you and not the world's change for you. What'd you say about it? Seems like the more it changes, or the direction it changes is sometimes worse and fact, most times. How did you say that? Is it most times you said, or all the time, maybe? Most of the time.
Not always good.
We know where the world is going with those changes. We don't want to be a part of that. We sang, O Lord of Light. How joyful life might be if in thy service every hour we lived and moved with thee. That's where we're going to have to be in this world. Because here we are. When we leave here, we're in this world. Now, do we partake of what it offers? Sometimes we do. And that's when we fail. Should we? No, of course not. But we have to be in the service of God every hour that we live and move with Him. What does that mean? I think that means the Holy Spirit. That we're paying attention to that. But the second verse said, 'Tis ne'er too late while life shall last, a new life to begin. 'Tis ne'er too late to leave the past and break with self and sin. Why self? Because sin is selfish. We have to leave that behind. But it's never too late to change according to what God would have us to change. This is the faith on which we're built. The doctrine that I read to you out of the Book of Mormon is the doctrine of the one and true Christ. And it is what we must stand upon. It is what we must raise our Ebenezer and our standard. It must say Christ, and we must stand by it in every moment of every day. In my foolishness, in my preaching, I say that because it's the truth. I don't say it because I'm perfect. Because we're going to endure to the end together. And we're going to meet together often. And we're going to help each other out. As we have helped others before and maybe each other out before. Because it's what we're supposed to do. And without it, there is no hope. And we must have that hope. And we must be strong. I can't predict for you what our federal government's going to do next. But is our federal government the enemy? No. Satan is. And he's got his nails, claws, fingers, whatever you want to call them, in everything that he can. He is our enemy. And he is God's enemy. And our faith is to be opposed to him, Satan. And to be a supporter of the name on the Ebenezer that we've raised, and to be strong in service to Him. I feel as though I've exhausted what I should say. So you take with you those things and consider them. Pray for me. And I ask that. And I pray for you. Because we can still be together in spirit across the miles, meeting together oft, there we go. Meeting together oft in prayer at the feet of our Savior, at the feet of our God. Okay, I'll say this too. I haven't shared this here, but it's exactly what I'm talking about. And my family will just have to be patient with me. We went down to Houston. And there's a church member there, Julia Bryan, that I think some of you know. I think maybe she's... Have you met Julia Bryan? Maybe you haven't. And you know what? That's all the better for what I'm about to say. In that terms, anyway. But we had heard she was a new member of the Houston Local in Warrensburg. And then we heard shortly after that that she was in the hospital in Lee's Summit and was very ill. And I don't even remember what it was, but it was pretty severe. And so we prayed for her. There was a request for prayers, so we prayed for her. And then lately, over Christmas time, after Christmas, just this past Christmas, we were down in Houston, and I met her for the first time. And she thanked me and basically the Warrensburg people thanked us for the prayers that we had uttered in her, on her behalf. I've never met her till that moment. And the first thing we talked about was, "Hi, I'm Julie Bryan. Hi, I'm Donald Gill. Oh, hey, thank you for all of your prayers. I'm doing better. And there's one little last thing, but they say it's going to be taken care of soon. And I'm here, and I'm feeling better. I'm at home. I'm out of the hospital. All that great stuff." That was our conversation. It wasn't, "How's the weather? What do you think about politics? Who's your favorite football team?" Whatever small talk people come up with. It wasn't, because we're brother and sister. And she's been prayed for. I knew her already before I met her, right? I knew her already before I met her. So when I ask her prayers, long story short, and I say I'm going to pray for you, we're meeting together oft in our prayers, and I can pray for the folks in the Philippines I've never met, and I know them. They have my name. I have theirs. Ever thought of it that way? And what is that name? Christ. So long as I'm steadfast on that faith, then that is my name. And Lord, forgive me when I'm not.
Atonement. The word atonement is wrong. Well, you have a choice. You can either use reconciled or covered. That's what they suggest. Now let me ask you, did Christ cover our sins, or did he atone for our sins? He atoned. He took them away from us.